going to be kind of a carry-on from the message this morning at the drive-up, but it's not. I challenged myself not to preach the same message at the drive-up service as inside. I don't want to preach the same message because I get people from the outside to come inside. I'm used to teaching Sunday school at 9:30 and then doing church at our worship service at 10:30. So it's a similar message, a similar method, but I try to do a sequel and where the two messages go together. And this morning, it's going to go together, I think, because here we're going to study a little bit about hell. Outside, we were talking about the lake of fire and the focus on the lake of fire. And a lot of people don't understand the fact that the lake of fire and hell are two different places. And I liken it unto somebody that's arrested for doing something wrong. They go to jail. And after their court date and they're convicted, they go to prison. Well, hell is the jail. It's the temporary place where people go when they die without Jesus. And if you don't believe that, Luke chapter 16, by the way, I'm gonna go ahead and hit this, because Luke chapter 16, and I'm not going there, but I might bring out some points from that passage, is the fact that the rich man is still there today, 2,000 years later. And it angers me when I hear people say that that's a parable. Lazarus and the rich man is not a parable. Okay, and Jesus does something in that event when he tells about those two men. Actually, well, the two men is he uses two proper names. He uses Abraham's name, and he uses Lazarus's name. And he could have used the rich man's name as well, but I believe he didn't do it for the sake of his family, because they may have well known who the man was. They probably didn't know Lazarus because he was just a beggar. But I want to focus on hell and the difference between hell. But my concern is, and where I'm going with this, is the fact that I want you to know why we do what we do. Why we do what we do. I want you to understand that, why do we bother passing out tracts? The tracts that we provide, in fact, we just got a shipment of 7,500 more tracts. And the man in Lakeland has invested a lot of money in our church by buying these tracts for us. And he ships them to us absolutely free. In fact, I ran out one time when we were at the church in Kansas City. We started the church in Kansas City in 2009, and I ran out. Guess what? He called me. And he said, "Well, how many tracks you got left?" I said, "Well, I'm out." Oh, my goodness. He chewed me out royally. He said, "You're not supposed to run out. I'm expecting an email from you within the next day or two so I can send you some tracks. You're not supposed to run out." But why do we bother doing that? Why does he bother buying the tracts? I want you to just ponder that. Why bother passing out tracts? We, Brother Myron and I, and a number of you guys, we'll go to different places, whether it's Walmart or a grocery store or wherever we are, and we'll pass out tracts. My wife, she's not in here. Good. That's a good thing. She doesn't like me talking about her. But, and I don't say anything bad about her. I don't have anything bad to say about her, except that she's extremely patient with this crazy preacher. But she gets put out with me sometimes because I'm in the grocery store and she's asking about certain, should we get this kind of meat or that kind of meat? And I'm over here passing out tracts. And she gets kind of put out over that because I'm not helping her make those decisions. But Hey, the truth is I get distracted easy. But why would we bother passing out tracts? We pass out tracts, so many tracts. We've passed out somewhere around 50 to 60,000 in the last 8 years. And at the Christmas parade, we'll pass out goodie bags with tracts. We put candy in the tracts, and or in the goodie bag, and a track in the goodie bag, and a little Christmas card in there saying Bible Baptist Church is keeping Christ in Christmas. We'll do things like that just to keep people, number one, keep people aware of what Christmas is all about. Right. And number two, help them to realize there's a church that still thinks Jesus is important.
Amen.
Too many of them have kind of forgotten what the purpose of a church is. So why do we bother passing out tracts? Well, I got another question. Why do we bother knocking on doors? You know, that takes a lot of time. You realize how much we sweat when we knock doors in July and August? You realize that I was even sweating in April yesterday, knocking doors. You know, it's hard on my old knees sometimes to do a lot of walking. Now, I praise God that I'm not in North Carolina. We knocked doors for a church in North Carolina in 2006. And I'm telling you, everywhere we went, it seemed like there wasn't no going downhill. It was all uphill everywhere you went. It was tough on my knees. But I praise God I'm in Florida where it's all flat. And I don't have to walk up and down them hills so much. I don't have to climb stairs like I did. But why bother knocking on doors? You know, you irritate people when you knock on their door. You're uninvited. They'll slam the door in your face. They'll cuss you out. Sometimes you'll hear and see them peek out of the window, and they won't even bother opening the door. Sometimes they come to the door and say, "I'll be right back," and never come back. Why would we bother doing all that? Why do we spend so much money on missions? We spent $19,000 for missions last year. We've already got 8,000, better than 8,000 that's come in so far this year for missions. Why would we bother with missions? Why would I leave my job, a good job at the phosphate mines, good insurance, 25-year seniority? Why would I bother leaving and go as a 45-year-old freshman to a Bible college? I want you to understand, there's the same answer for every one of those questions. There really is a hell. There really is a hell. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I want to read just one verse here in Proverbs 27. Verse 20. And it says, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." I want you to think about that. Hell and destruction are never full. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And what a blessing it is to have this blessed book. And Lord, I thank you, praise God, for everyone that told me about this awful place, that warned me not to go there, that warned me that I needed Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for you for the next few minutes. I pray for your Holy Spirit to take control of this message. Lord, it's not me. I'm nothing special. Lord, I'm just going to, the only thing I'm qualified to do is mess it up. And Lord, if you don't take over, if your Holy Spirit doesn't speak through me, we might as well go home now. Lord, we need you. We need your power. We need to hear from your Spirit. You've got a message for your people this morning. Please, Lord, let us hear it. Not a word more, not a word less. And keep the preacher out of your way and in your will. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I One of the things that I mentioned yesterday about, or this morning, about the girls that got saved yesterday was the fact that one of the things that I explained to them was the fact that there really is a place called the Lake of Fire. Right. The Bible says herein hell and destruction are never full. If you go to Isaiah chapter 5 verse 14, we're not going to go there, but you can write it down. It says that hell hath enlarged herself. Do you realize that there's a building program going on in hell because so many people are dying and going there? It's not big enough. And the devil is just eating it up. He's loving it. And what we do and why we do it is because people are going to a devil's hell and they don't have to. And like I said outside, that lake of fire, eternal fire, everlasting fire, is called in Matthew 25, 41, wasn't created for people. It was created for the devil and his angels. And we only have one responsibility before we get saved. To get saved. And then we only have one responsibility after we get saved. To tell others how to get saved. Amen. There's only two people, two kinds of people in this world. Those that have Jesus and those that need Jesus. And those of us that have Jesus are supposed to share him with those that need Jesus. And I know that it bothers me. I've got a friend in Kansas City that I've been praying for. He's been on our prayer list since we started the church, and he's still there. And I don't get to see him much. But when I do get out there, I was out there in 2019. And when I do get out there, I make sure I go see him. And I've said this before, but one of the things I call his wife, because him and his wife are good friends of mine. We work together. And I go by and see them both. And I had her phone number, and I couldn't get through to him. So I called her and told her I was coming into town. And she told her husband. And he said, tell Brian I'll meet him anywhere but church. I said, okay. Tell him to meet me in heaven. Amen. Hey, I want him to think that way. I want him to understand that there really is a place like that. Our goal, what we do, if we lose sight of the goal of reaching souls, we might as well close the doors of Bible Baptist Church. I told the Lord when he called me into the ministry, and I'll be honest with you, I was a soul winner before I became a pastor. In fact, I didn't know the Lord was going to call me to be a pastor. He just wouldn't let me alone about it. I was a painter at the phosphate mines, and I had some of those guys out there say, you ought to be a preacher. Little did they know they might have been, I think they were prophets. But the truth is, God's got a goal for each of us. He's got a plan for every one of us. This world needs people who don't lose their focus. This world is not my home. So I've got a job while I'm here, and that's to reach everybody I can. And I'm glad. I've been in churches before when they were very uncomfortable when you talk about soul winning. I'm glad Bible Baptist Church isn't that way. I'm glad we're a church that focuses on souls. I'm glad my people, the church people here, they love hearing about people getting saved. Number of times we were in the juvenile jails, and I preached, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of times in the juvenile jails while I was on staff at Landmark. And I'd go in and we'd see, they'd bring the kids in and let us preach to them. We'd be in the day room, they'd shut all the TVs off and everything and let us have our way. Let us preach. And I'd see sometimes 30, 40 people, 40 teenagers in there at the same time. And I'd share Christ with them. And probably there weren't many times it was less than two-thirds. Normally we'd see two-thirds of the kids get saved. And I mean, you get excited for those that get saved. Praise God, you see people saved. But I never got satisfied because they didn't all get saved. I'm tickled to death. We've seen 62 people saved in this year through our efforts at Bible Baptist Church. Now, some of them from the Cowboy Carnival in February, some of them from the youth shelter, a number of them from the youth shelter. But we've seen 12 the last two weekends. And I get excited over that. But guess what's going to happen this coming week? We're going to go soul winning. Guess what's going to happen this week? We're going to be passing out tracts. Why? Because there's still more people going to hell. There's still more people dying without Jesus. These girls that got saved yesterday, it was so, so easy. But I told Brother Myron and Brother Aaron as we were headed back to the church after seeing the girls get saved, it breaks my heart. It was so easy for them to get saved, and so many people are so close to getting saved. It wouldn't take much to get them saved. All it takes is somebody to care enough. Care enough to tell them. Care enough to pray for them. Care enough to go. Care enough to put a track in their hand. That's why we do what we do. That's why we pass out the tracts. That's why we are who we are. And there's a number of reasons why we do it. Number one, because there's a hell. Number two, because Jesus commanded us to. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things," not most of the things, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." I want you to understand, teaching is two parts of the plan of salvation, or the Great Commission. Teaching them what? Teach them how to get saved. Then after they get saved, then you teach them to be baptized. Okay? Getting baptized before you're saved is getting the cart before the horse. You really hadn't got baptized. And if you get sprinkled, you still hadn't got baptized. Teaching, how are you going to teach? They have me go over to the college. I'm a graduate of the Landmark Baptist College, and I go over there now since I retired from driving the city bus in June. And so I've got a little more time to donate to them. And I love giving those kids something that I've learned, that God's taught me. First off, last semester I got to teach church plant. And I know a little bit about that now. Done it twice. But you know, one of the things they expect me to do when they ask me to teach is to talk. Try teaching somebody and not saying anything. There is, and I know a lot of people get excited over this and get on board with this lifestyle evangelism. I've never seen it work. Now, I agree, your lifestyle's got to match your talk, but you don't talk, they're not going to learn. Jesus says teaching twice in the Great Commission. You got to teach them how to get saved, and after you baptize them, then you teach them to observe all things he commanded us. So why do we do what we do? We do it because hell's real. We do it because Jesus commanded us to. There's a third reason. We do it because we love Jesus. He said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And if he commanded us to go, and we love him, then guess what? We've got to go. If we love him, and by the way, we will go with the same effort. It'll be measured up. You can measure it. How much you go by how much you love him. I know I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit's told me. He's told me, he's hit me hard with this. I was in a church that didn't go soul winning. I was in a church that I was the soul winning program. The church had 200 members, I guess. They average 130 to 150 on Sunday morning, maybe more. Got to a point where the pastor was teaching people how to soul win. The church got up to 300. The church was over 100 years old, about 115 years old, and never got over 300 before, never reached 300 before. And we hired a pastor, called a pastor to be that was an evangelist to be our pastor. And I credit him, he's in heaven today, but I credit him with setting me on fire for winning souls. I was a soul winner long before I went to Landmark. Landmark just helped me sharpen my tools. But the truth is, I don't do it because I love my preacher. I do it because I love Jesus. There's a fourth reason. Not only do we do what we do because hell is real, not only because Jesus commands it, not only because we love Jesus, but number four, we love people. How on earth can you believe that there's a hell that's real and you know people are going there and you don't tell them how to miss it? And there's only one way. I know there's a bunch of lies out there about it. Oh, there are many ways to heaven. I got news for you. You read the first part of John chapter 10 where Jesus calls everybody that tries to get in another way a thief and a robber. Okay? There is no other way to get to heaven.
That's right.
Buddha, Confucius, Mary, Muhammad, Allah, it don't matter. You're going to split hell wide open. By the way, where do you think Buddha is right now? He ain't in heaven. The truth is, we do what we do because there's reasons, and these reasons don't let us let up. We support missionaries. Right now we're supporting 21 different missionaries and missions organizations. We're looking to add on to that. We have missionaries. We had a missionary Sunday night. Shared a burden for South Africa. And we gave him a good love offering. He's trying to build a building. He's been there. He's been in South Africa. He's trying to win the people. He's learning the languages. There are a number of different languages there. One of them, he said, was a clicking language. Something I don't know. I can't figure out how he did that. But the truth is, he said, there's only a few clicking languages, and he's trying to learn them. Why do we support missions? All four of these reasons qualify. Because that hell is real. Because Jesus commanded us to. Because we love Jesus and we love people. Ever since, I want to share that banner, ever since we put that banner up, that stirred our hearts to reach children. Now you saw the children. I'm not going to make excuses for them. They've got a lot of energy. A lot of them have never spent much time in church. They are not churched kids. But they're getting there. But who am I? Who are you to say to God, they can't come to church because they can't act right? I'm going to tell you, some of you might not know, but those kids are mild-mannered compared to what this one was when I was their age. I was a holy terror. I'm going to tell on myself. I know I am, but I remember me and another boy. We were probably five or six years old, and we got into a fight in the Sunday school room. And the teacher's trying to pull us apart. And I'm telling you, it was like a barroom brawl. We were over tables and tipping over chairs, and they had swinging doors in there. And he'd go through the door, I'd sling him through the door, he'd sling me through the door. But praise God, they didn't give up on me. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to give up on these kids either. There's more of them out there that we need to reach. Who's to say there's not a preacher in the midst? I guarantee you, if they had known there was a preacher in the midst of my class, they said, well, Brian's not it. But God's, hey, by the way, do you really think the disciples expected the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, to get saved? God hath chosen the foolish things. I qualify. Amen? I'm glad God does things His way and not my way, not your way. He's got His own wisdom. He's got His own purposes. He knows the end from the beginning. And praise God, He's all about wanting to see people saved. Brother Meyer and Brother Aaron will tell you, we had no clue as to what God was going to do at that door yesterday. We had knocked some doors. We had talked to people about the bus route. And on a whim, just felt like, I tell you what, let's go see this couple that got saved. You see how God directs? And I didn't ask Aaron, he had the clipboard. I didn't ask Aaron to find his name. I gave Aaron the name off the back of my head, out of my mind. I've been chewing on that name for a couple weeks now. The Lord had been preparing us to go to that house. Why would we do that? Why do you keep knocking doors? Hey, it's getting politically incorrect to tell people that Jesus is the only way to heaven. In fact, a lot of people think Jesus is not even real. I got news for you. If Jesus isn't real, who's this living inside of me?
That's right.
I want you to know, if nobody else, if no other church, and that was one of the things that bothered me when we moved to Kansas City, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Baptist churches. And I'm asking the Lord, before we go out there, I'm running, doing a search on the internet, and I'm getting page after page after page after page of Baptist churches in Kansas City proper. And I'm saying, Lord, all these Baptist churches, and you want us to go to Kansas City to start another one? And I wasn't being disobedient. I was just trying to understand. And I asked him, why do you want us to go there to start a Baptist church when there's so many Baptist churches? And he never answered me. And then when I got out there, he didn't need to. Because there were so many Baptist churches, we did not run into a single Baptist church knocking doors. We passed out tracts. We did not run across any information. The only cults we ran into, only people we ran into were the cults. And we were within 5 miles of the Southern Baptist Seminary in Kansas City, and we started our church. Church is still going on. They're going to celebrate their 12th anniversary in September. Why would these two people in their 50s leave their home? My wife and I've lived in Lakeland since I was 2. She was born there. Never lived anywhere other than Florida. We moved to Stark for a few months to help a church up there. That's the only time we've ever lived anywhere outside of the neighborhood we live in now. Why would we move to Kansas City? Because there's a hell. Because Jesus commanded me to. I've got a good wife, and she followed me, even though it was hard. It was hard on us. Leave our family behind. We weren't comfortable moving. Never thought we'd be moving. But there's a church there now. We've got friends from that church that'll be our friends forever. Why do we do what we do? Because there's a hell that are people going to, that Jesus commanded us to try to reach people. And if we love him, we're going to obey his commandments. And if we love people, how can we let them go uncontested to hell? How? If you really believe the Bible, and you really believe there's a hell, and you really believe that Jesus is the only way for people to get to heaven, how can you not warn them? I know I'm not trying to be mean, but if somebody gets saved from your family, or a friend of yours gets saved because you try a little harder, and just because we witnessed to them doesn't mean they're going to get saved. And you may have witnessed to them time and time and time again. Remember the story of Naaman? Naaman, first off, he didn't want to dip in the nasty water of Jordan. He said, we got cleaner water in Samaria. But he dipped the first time. Nothing happened. He dipped the second time. Nothing happened. Dipped the third time. Nothing happened. The fourth time, nothing happened. Fifth time, nothing happened. Sixth time, nothing happened. But what happened when he dipped the seventh time? He came up, and his skin was like a baby's skin. The leprosy was gone. I want you to understand, sometimes you might witness to them 6 times. Sometimes you might witness to them 10 times. Sometimes you might witness to them 20 times. But it might be the next time. Just don't quit. And by the way, if you witness to somebody and you warn them about that awful place, you get credit in heaven as if they get saved because you did your part. Even if they don't get saved, preacher, even if they don't get saved. And I'm going to tell you something. I've watched Jesus do some amazing things. The four girls that got saved yesterday, and I'm going to close with this, but the four girls that got saved yesterday, it was on a follow-up. Back in October, Landmark Baptist College came to Bartow and Fort Meade and knocked doors for us 3 days in a row, putting out about 2,500 tracks and door hangers for our revival that we were having coming up the next week. They saw 26 people saved that week. this girl that we went to visit, her dad, he was one of them that got saved. Brother Myron and I followed up another week or two later. The mom got saved. These girls, these four girls that got saved, were just added on to that follow-up list. We saw 11 get saved. Now we've seen 15 get saved on top of the 26. All because of their efforts, the college students gave us the contacts. Why do we do what we do? There's a number of reasons, and they're all tied together. They're all tied together. There really is a hell. Jesus commanded us to warn people. That's why we've got those tracts out there. We've got tracts, little comic book tracts to pass out. They'll tell people how to get to heaven. I hand one to the, whenever I hand them to somebody, sometimes you go to the drive-thru at the restaurant, and I'll hand them a tract, or a cashier at a grocery store. I'll hand them a tract, and I'll say, I'm giving you this because I want to see you in heaven, and it'll tell you how to get there. I've never had anybody say, I don't want to go. You know what? I have had a lot of them say, thank you. Thank you because you care. And that's goes right along with number four. We love people because we care. There's a it breaks my heart that so many churches have lost their focus on what they're all about. But as long as I'm pastor of Bible Baptist Church, Bible Baptist Church's number one mission is to see people get saved. And every activity, whether it's a bus route, whether it's door knocking, whether it's fellowships, whether it's whatever it is, it's all going to be focused on getting people saved. And we're going to keep tracks. And we're going to keep passing them out. We're going to keep knocking doors. We're going to keep running a bus until Jesus comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, I thank you for the people you've put in my path that cared enough. They loved you enough. They believed hell was real. They wanted to obey your commandments. And they loved me enough to tell me the truth about that awful place called hell. About the way to avoid it by getting saved, by calling on Jesus. Lord, we're counting on you to do something mighty in our invitation. Lord, there may not be anybody. I don't know if there's somebody here that's not saved. If they're not saved, Lord, I pray for them to get saved. Because, like we said, hell's real. And it was not created for people. Lord, I just pray that you'll prompt each one of us to try a little harder, to not quit, to not give up, because that awful place is real. And one day, we're not going to be able to do any more soul winning. We don't know when that is. But Lord, we see our world going crazy. Help us to intensify our efforts while there's yet time. Use the invitation to make us more like Jesus and give us a burden, a heavy burden for souls. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.